Dear Heavenly Father, please hear our prayers and help us with what's on our hearts and in our minds as we raise our hearts and souls to you in worship. Let us find peace here in your home. Let us find it in our hearts to love one another, not as friends, but as the family of God. May you guide the leaders of the world into paving a way for peace and prosperity after these dark times we've recovered from. On this day at 9:59, the first of the two towers collapsed, the second following it by less than a half hour. We pray for those who lost family in those attacks, and let us bring comfort to them on the anniversary of this terrible act. I pray the world can see this terrible act and never commit something like this again. May our brothers and sisters from across the world bless us this day and help us pray us through hard times. May your light guide us through the times of darkness in our lives, such changes we are going through in our lives, such as high school or maybe a new job. May you guide us through the treacherous waters and help us improve ourselves to be more loving and caring like the Son you gave for us. Now please join me in a silent prayer. Now please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture lesson this morning is Philippians chapter 1, verses 7 through 14. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. Whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters in the Lord have been encouraged to speak with the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you might be with us in the hearing of your word, in the study of it, that you might lead us ever closer to what you have created us to be in your name. Amen. So everyone's a fan of something. You might think of a college team that you hold dear. You might have even a professional team. You might be a fan of a particular kind of literature or music. You might have a popular culture icon that you're following. You may have a movie that you're not even going to tell me how many times you've seen it. But it's a movie that you love. It might be a song that if I went to your iTunes playlist, it would be at the very top of the top 25 most played, and you would not even want me to see the number of times it's been played. So we all have something that we're a fan of. You may be a collector. You may have a special room that's a special color that has many shelves that have all your collections on them. But all of us are some kind of fan. Now I would say that there are fans. And then there is that other kind of fan, that super fan that goes beyond enthusiasm and basic knowledge, devoted, even a fan who is a fan to the embarrassment of others. This is a Dutch fan cheering on his team at the 2014 Soccer World Cup. There are such a thing called super fans, and that's what we're going to be talking about. We're talking about the ultimate follower as a super fan, a follower of Jesus Christ. And we're going to be doing that today and for the next 2 weeks as we go through September. So I read this article this summer by David Evans, and it was called What Builds a Superfan? He wasn't specifically talking about a sports a team fan or a pop culture icon fan. He was actually talking about marketing. He's saying if you want your product to have super fans, there are some things that have to happen for them to change from fan to super fan. And there are ways that you can tell whether a person is a super fan or not. But I would suggest that the things that Evans wrote in his article are things that apply to any time that you find yourself a super fan. So one of the first things is that if you are a super fan of something, you believe that you have a genuine alignment with the values of that thing, that team, that person, that movie. Now, the values could be those of courage, of a winning spirit, of loyalty, of strength, of joy, whatever that value is that you feel you have an affinity with that and you say, I value the same things and that's why I'm a fan. The second thing that Evans writes about is that the person who is a super fan has had an actual positive experience. So for example, you may have a restaurant that you are a super fan of the restaurant and every time you go in, the wait staff is good. The food is good again and again. And you say, okay, I'm a super fan of this restaurant. I wear their t-shirt because I really like them and I continue to have positive experiences with them. It might be a movie that you've watched many, many times or an actor or actress that you follow because you just know that you're going to see something quality or something you enjoy and so you're a fan. You might also, as you move into super fandom, you understand that there is a tangible improvement in your life by being a fan. And so you can be you might find that being a fan of a college team, Michigan State, U of M, that in some way your life is better through that fandom. And I know there are some people here who are convinced of that. If you can't turn around, you might check out the tech back here with his U of M hair. I think that really does really just improve our quality of life, Gene. And so people bring that kind of fandom. The other, the last thing that's really interesting about a super fan is they do not hesitate to share their fandom, to share the information that they know, whether it's their collection or wearing the colors, whether it's telling stories or knowing the stats, that people who are super fans are over the top and they're willing to talk to you a lot. They're the kind of people that when you ask what the score of the game was, they can go play by play and tell you what happened, and not only that, they can compare it to 5 years ago and explain what the coach is doing differently this year. They're like, they just know all of that. The world of a super fan is just fascinating. I happened to watch a series of these short documentaries on YouTube that were done by Tom Felton, who played Draco Malfoy in the Harry Potter series of movies. And this is a picture of Tom Felton here. And he did this short series, you can find it on YouTube, where he explored the idea of superfan. And the reason he did is because of this woman who early in his movie career started to show up and just keeps popping up. Her name is Tina. And Tina just comes and is always standing in line when he gets out of a play, wherever he is. She wants an autograph. She wants a photograph. She has many, many of them. And he asked the question, what is a superfan? And why is this Tina my fan? He talked with other, he came to the United States, he interviewed people who are super fans and follow stars, and specifically Harry Potter super fans. And he interviewed, the author of the Harry Potter series. There we go, J.K. Rowling. He interviewed her, and she talked about fandom that she receives. And he it was really interesting because he came to these conclusions that why are people super fans? He interviewed one guy who was a scape. He talked about how when he was little he was bullied and he entered that world of Harry Potter and he found a place where he could get away from the pain of his life. So he found some people who become super fans because it's an escape to something other than what they're living. For others he talked to, it was an idea of being a part of a larger community. This happened to be the story for Tina, this super fan that followed him around. that she felt connected to a larger community of fans and of these actors by being a part of that. It was something that was missing in her life. And then he also found that for some fans, it's an idea of being recognized. He interviewed a guy in New York City who just in his spare time hunts down and gets pictures with different stars. And so, and it's an idea of recognition. He collects autographs, not to sell or anything, but just to have for himself. So there are a couple of ideas. But I started thinking about fans. Now I'm not going to say I'm a super fan, but I do have a Star Trek communicator button. Should have worn it today. Maybe next week I will. But I started thinking about those super fans of Star Wars who know the lines, who've seen all the movies, even the bad ones, and they're just waiting for the one that recently came out. And they go to these Comic-Cons and they dress. So this is a Comic-Con that Tom Felton went to. And here he is getting ready to march with the stormtroopers. And I started thinking about being a fan of Star Wars, a super fan. And here's the things that you get as a super fan of Star Wars. First of all, you get this idea that if you dream big, big dreams can come true. Think about Luke Skywalker wanting to be a Jedi Knight. You get this idea that friends can truly be devoted to each other. Think of like Han Solo and the Wookiee, you know, that they come together and they're devoted. Think about that if you're a fan of Star Wars, you learn that that wise mentors, Yoda, are honored. And finally, and this is the big one for the Star Wars whole series, is that good triumphs over evil. And for some people in their lives, what a blessing to know that there's a story that gives that. So I can see how it would be easy to kind of move into that type of super fandom. Now, there are some areas where I question super fans, but you know, if you saw Bob, our director of discipleship today, with his shirt on, he had his lion shirt on, he told me, I suspect super fandom here, because when I said, oh, I see you're a fan of the Lions, he said, I've been a fan since, I don't know when, 1990s maybe, and he said they've only won one playoff game. Super fans know that. They know, and I'm sure he could say when it was. You know, the thing is, though, with super fans is that they can have great highs, and unfortunately, if you're a super fan of a particular sport, they can have great lows as well. Wasn't it a couple years ago at U of M Stadium? I was at a game, and like people were just leaving. It was ugly. And I wanted to give you a clip of a super fan, and I came across something that wasn't all cheering, but it just shows the heart of a super fan, and it kind of made me very sad. And so this is a clip from the end of the December 2015 game between the Lions and the Packers. So you may remember this. There was a touchdown in the end that lost the game. Packers 27, Lions 23. Doesn't it just break your heart? But you know, my guess is these guys are going to be back there this year, except when they're kicked out. But these guys are going to be back there at the stadium, ready to go. Now, I read this other article about marketing, and you can, if you're in any kind of business, you may have heard of this kind of ladder of engagement. It goes across lines, and people use it for a lot, this image for a lot of things. But I read an article about marketing actually developed in India, and they kind of connected this idea of going from fan to super fan onto a ladder of engagement. And so they started and they said, this is the way it goes. It's first you're aware. And so you might be aware of a team. You might be aware of a product. You see a commercial. You see a display in a store. It might be that you see a preview in the movie theater or something on TV. So you have this awareness. Or perhaps even if you were a child and you find yourself a lifelong fan of a sports team, your awareness was when you were a child and you can remember the TV or the radio being on, listening to games with your parents or a parent cheering them on. So awareness is where it starts. The next thing that happens is that you find you have an interest, and so you're asking a little bit more information, getting a little connected. You might go to a game. You might go see a movie. You might read a bio on someone. So you kind of start that interest growing. Then there's some type of interaction, and that fandom begins. You might get season tickets. You might get a couple of shirts for your growing wardrobe for the Red Wings. Or you might find that you want to watch that movie a couple more times, or you say, oh, there's a sequel coming out, I'm going to watch that as well. And then there's engagement. These are like the Comic-Con people, you know, they got the whole costume. You've already got your Halloween costume planned, okay? And I know that, well, I was going to say there are a lot of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton wigs out there. So you have this idea that comes from your fandom and what you're excited about. And then finally, and this is the top of that engagement ladder, is you begin to evangelize. You begin to tell other people that this is the best product to use. This is the best team. This is the best movie. This is the best actor. This is the murder mystery series to read. Whatever it is that you're ready to proselytize and pass that on. Now, I have to admit that I'm a fan of a number of things, and I don't top out on the nerd scale like Missy, but I'm kind of close. And I will say that there was one thing I thought about is I have used apples since 1984. That's 32 years. Now, awareness came to me because I was an educator, and Apple did a fabulous job of early marketing to school systems. And so the computers that we had to begin with were Apple computers. And then they did this other excellent marketing thing, is they gave teachers a pretty significant discount if your first computer was an Apple. And so that's what I did. So in 1984, I bought this Apple. And I have to tell you, ever since, I mean, I can tell you, I had the Apple II GS. I had their first PowerBook. It was like a brick. I've listened through an iPod and the iPod Nano. I wasn't exactly in line first, but I did get my iPhone and have gotten each of the series. I have an iPad, and I've got a second iPad. And I covet the watch. So I went from interested to interacting in school to being immersed and engaged in the whole kind of operating system that crosses over these devices. And now I'm not sure I would evangelize, but I'll tell you, if you're looking for a piece of computer equipment, I'm probably going to tell you why Apple's good for you. And so I know that this is a place where I have found that I've climbed that ladder of engagement and have moved from fan perhaps even to super fan. Not ready to wait in lines, but to that super fan level. And so I started thinking to myself, what would it be to be a super fan of Jesus Christ? What would it mean to be a disciple? Or more specifically, what would it mean for each of us to climb that ladder of engagement, or to consider where we are engaged in our Christian faith? And so I decided to go to like kind of the ultimate superfan. This is a picture of the Apostle Paul. I mean, it's not the real picture. I don't have any photographs. But this is... So I want to tell you a little bit about the Apostle Paul. He was born around the time that Jesus was born. No one's exactly sure, but, you know, just around that time. And he was born in Tarsus, which is a city in Turkey. He was born a Roman citizen. He was also born a Jew. He was trained up in the Jewish faith and got his higher education, you would say, in the Jewish faith in Jerusalem. He became a leader of this in the Sanhedrin, which was the Jewish ruling class. the committee that controlled. And we understand from the Bible that he started to have an awareness of Jesus. Now, we don't know exactly when that was, but if you go to Acts 7, you'll read a story of the stoning of the Christian martyr Stephen. And at the very end of that story, there's a part that says that a man named Saul, which was a name for Paul before his conversion, a man named Saul held the cloaks of the men who stoned Stephen. So he had an awareness. He had an interest. He might have even had an interaction, because what we find when we get to Acts 9 is suddenly Paul is involved in the persecution of Christians. He's on his way to Damascus because he's heard there's some Christians there, and he went so that he could arrest them and jail them. And so as he was going along, and you can read the more details in Acts 9, there was a bright flash. He fell to the ground and heard Jesus say to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He was blinded, and for 3 days he had no sight. They took him to Damascus, and they sat him in a house, and there he sat, terrified, I'm sure. In another home not too far away, God spoke to a Christian named Ananias and said, "Ananias, there's a guy named Paul, Saul, and I need you to go to him and tell him that he is going to be used by God to spread the gospel." Ananias said, "I know that guy. There is no way. I'm going to go talk to him. He's a persecutor." And God said, "No, you got to go." So he went. He anointed Saul. His name went to Paul. He told them that he would spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And something like scales fell from Paul's eyes 3 days. So it's kind of like the 3 days of the resurrection. 3 days later, he has sight. And Ananias sent him. And Paul went from just an interest to full engagement in the faith. Now, he tried to get right involved with the Christians, but they didn't really trust him. He tried in Damascus. He caused a scene. He went to Jerusalem. They were all up in arms. They sent him to Tarsus, back to his hometown, to get some Christian training. He was there for a few years. And then a Christian named Barnabas, went and got him, and they started going around. And in that time, Saul climbed that engagement ladder and went from fully engaged to evangelist. And he became the evangelist that took the church of Jesus Christ outside the Jewish faith to the people around the Mediterranean, to the non-Jews. And we can be thankful for Paul's super fandom that we're here today as followers of Jesus Christ. Now, when he wrote this letter, you heard scripture today from Philippians. When he wrote the letter to the Philippians, we can see in it his fandom. He writes in verses 7 and 8 to this group of church people that he loves, that they're in his heart. And the word phrenio, the Greek word that he uses, isn't exactly heart. It's heart, mind, gut. It's like they are integral to his life. That's what they are. And he loves them that much, but he doesn't love them that much because they're kind, they're nice people, they make him feel good. What he is clear about is he loves them in Christ. His fandom of Christ informs his love for them. In verses 9 through 11, he talks about what he prays for them. And he prays that they might have wisdom, and they might have knowledge, and they might be right with God. But he prays all of those in the name of Jesus Christ, so that they might come to be in relationship with God as he is in relationship with God. It's that evangelism. His heart is for them and wants them to be with Christ. And finally, this is so powerful. In verses 12 through 14, he reminds them, "I'm in prison. I'm in prison, but I'll tell you, this is good news. Because the palace guard and the people who know that I'm here because I love Jesus Christ." And so the good news is continuing to spread. And what's more, Christians around here who are hearing what I'm putting up with to be in prison, they are emboldened to spread the good news too. This guy is a super fan without measure. And what are the values that he shares, kind of back to those shared values? What he shares in value with Christians, he talks about, first of all, he has a confidence in God. It is a hope that cannot be diminished. He has a hope that God will complete the things that God starts. that God will not let him down, whether it's in the good times or the bad. And it is a value that he shares with the Christians. He values freedom. We talk about the freedom in Christ, that we are not bound by laws or rules, but simply the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ that lifts us up. And he shares a value of hope for others. That the more people he tells this story to the guards in prison, to the people who are around, to the different places that he will go, that they will find a hope also that will sustain them and bridge them from this life where God reigns to life eternal. It is powerful that he shares this, and he is a super fan to watch. And I have to say that as I think about this and I think about fandom, I can't help but figure out, where am I on this ladder of engagement? So for some of us, we're over the top, and we are fully engaged in whatever our hobby might be. I have a few pictures, even because I asked on Facebook for people to give their super fan pictures. I have a few today, and I'll show some more next week. And you're certainly welcome to put them on. So here are a couple of U of M super fans. They told me this is down in New Orleans, and so that's why they got the beads on there. This is a brick at Comerica Park. It says, Art Neff, Tiger fan from 1946. To eternity. And Art Neff is a treasurer of our church. He has been to 57 major league ballparks. Yes, that man's a super fan of baseball. And here's a super fan, a dad who is a super fan. His son is this is Cive Ramos, and his son Jordan was the mascot for the Brighton Bulldogs, and there he is being a fan. So I'll show you more of those. But I have to tell you, or ask you, to think about, what are we passionate about? What's our special collection? What are our team colors? What is the thing that we're willing to talk about, to evangelize about, to spread the good news? And where do we fall in fandom? Where are we willing to travel to find something new about the thing for which we have this great love and affinity? All right, you may have that answer. But the next question is, where do you fall in the ladder of engagement when it comes to the Christian faith? Is it now a time of awareness for you? Is it a time of being interested, and you're kind of checking out things and listening? Are you on the rung of interacting? That in some way, in prayer, in worship, in faith in some way, Jesus Christ has touched your life in a powerful way. Are you at a place of engagement where this is a regular practice, and that you have a heart to be in discipleship with Jesus Christ? And finally, this is the crazy rung up at the top. Are you willing to evangelize? We're going to talk more about superfans in the week ahead, the weeks ahead, but what I encourage you to do, what I challenge you to do, is to think about fandom for Christ, to think about this superfan role, and to consider prayerfully where you are. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, we ask your blessing today as we consider super fandom. We give you thanks for all the things we love in this life and the fandom that we have been able to create and to sustain. And we ask that you might bring us by your Spirit ever closer, that we might be your super fans. Amen. As Alex mentioned in a prayer a little bit earlier, this is the 15th anniversary of 9/11. Perhaps you can remember where you were on that Tuesday morning when that happened. I was getting ready for a Bible study, and what I recall, I was serving in a church that was on the flight path for Detroit Metro, that the sky was empty for 3 days. It was a powerful reminder of the fear that racked us. I invite you to join me now in a time of meditation and prayer that will remind us and help us through this time of remembering. We pray together as we remember the anniversary of 9/11. Lord, we remember the old hymn, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home. In these days, help us to return not only to our hurt, but also to your help. And let us go on to help others. O God of resurrection, from the destruction of precious lives and presumed security, bring forth faith hope and courage. Let us find security in your arms. Amen.